Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bowl edition of the Mats on the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader. Matt Chatham and Matt Williamson will be joining me in just a few moments. But I've got a few things that I want to say to you out there in podcast land. If you're listening to the show, thank you so very much. And if you have a friend who also loves listening to football conversations, please, please, please share this with a buddy so that we can deliver more content to you like this. We've got a ton of good stuff here. Yesterday, we posted our podcast on the prop bets. Today, we're speaking with the Mats. And then coming up on Thursday, you'll get the full Superfan show regarding our thoughts on the upcoming Super Bowl. And more importantly, the thoughts of the superfans of each team, both Tim and Patrick, two of our more animated, colorful, enjoyable, entertaining. I'm trying to think of any good quality I could add as an adjective. Those two will be presenting an epic superfan battle that you're not going to want to miss. That's coming on Thursday. And of course, our past content as well. If you subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else, you can listen to those older episodes and check out the thoughts of the superfans on what the teams will be doing in the offseason, both the AFC and NFC. Those have been split up for you. Plus, I had a reunion with Matthew Berry of ESPN Fantasy. So if you've missed any of our shows, just subscribe and go and check out some of our older episodes. And of course, everything is being done to get ready for the big game this week. So that's enough for me for now. Let's bring in the Mats. It's my pleasure now to bring in the Mats, who have been gracious enough to join us all through the postseason. And so I thank them both profusely. Matt Chatham of Football by Football. Hello.
What's up, boys? Good to be back.
And Matt Williamson of many different podcasts, including the Locked On NFL Podcast Network, blah, blah, blah. You can find him at Williamson NFL on Twitter. It's the easiest way to bring him in. Hello, Matt Williamson.
Hello, Pod Vader. How are you today?
Neither of you are Matt Berry, whom I spoke with last week. Apparently, I only know Matts, and those are the guests that I have on this podcast. Awesome. Well, here we are, the final time that the three of us will be together, at least for this season. And it is the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. Clearly, there's some strong biases coming from my side of things. And that's why you two are here. Hey. although I know, Matt Chatham, you have your own ingrown biases as well in terms of these two teams.
For sure. I've got some, I've got plenty of background with them, but I think both you and I, Jay, we've seen enough of the Patriots when it hasn't worked in playoffs, so you got to have a healthy sense of skepticism.
Oh, boo-hoo.
You know, a couple losses there, here and there. Never happened.
Once in a while, we lose a playoff game. Boo-hoo.
There you go.
Listen, from a fan perspective who grew up with the Patriots starting in 1984, the place where this team, the New England Patriots, are now compared to where they were then is light year. You can't even compare the two teams. And when my son, who cries about them, you know, maybe losing that playoff game or whatever, I just look at him and I go, you have no idea what sucking is all about, son. So
it hits my ear that same way whenever you hear sort of the real Patriot flag wavers talk about how such and such decision cost them another one, you know, or if they'd only drafted this guy or kept this guy or signed this guy in free agency, Bill screwed them from some other Super Bowl they should have had or something, which strikes my ear as not smart.
Well, and to that degree, I mean, as I look at the way that I, as a fan, I've got my clothes picked out all week, gentlemen. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yes. Today I'm wearing my town T-shirt featuring all four mascots of the major sports clubs in Boston, including Pat the Patriot right in the middle. When I wear my jerseys on game day and this week, and the jersey for Sunday will be my away Bledsoe jersey. I look at the names on the back that I wear, and all season long, it's been Bledsoe and Malloy. And that's sort of where I, you know, have always anchored where my true fandom lies in that transition between the Bledsoe to the Brady years. You know, so that's me coming from a fan perspective. But as we get into this game here, Chatham, you know, Brady's growth from that time when he took over the team and won that first Super Bowl in 2001 to where he is now, has also been almost, you can't really compare the two quarterbacks.
Right. And it's something that's instructional even for me, you know, because you sort of misremember over time. And I had to actually go back and watch the snowball game for some local media stuff out here. It was a Nesson segment or something we were doing where it was the anniversary of that game or whatever. And I personally, the way it happens when you're playing is they give you cut ups of your own plays. So any special team snaps or defensive snaps I had would be the ones that I'm most interested in the next morning. Then we got to quick go on to the next game. I personally had never watched the Snow Bowl game in full since I played in it. You know, I've seen the clips, obviously, of Adams' historic kicks, obviously the tuck thing over and over again, a handful of catches. Wiggy, my partner there, Jermaine Wiggins and Nesson, seeing his couple of his bobble catches and some of the awesome plays he had, some of the fingertips that Troy had. You know, I do remember the Troy Brown, excuse me, the what's his name? Tim Brown, when he put the, I think it was Tim, or no, it was Charles Woodson, excuse me, Charles Woodson putting that punt on the ground. Damn it, I'm blowing the story. It was Troy Brown. It was our guy who put the punt on the ground, and then Larry Izzo popped on top of it. And I do remember that sort of life flashing before my eyes because it was sitting there in the snow pile, and Larry and I are both inches from it, plopped on it. Shane Leckler kind of, you know, sort of screened his body off. But to say all this, I don't remember all of it, right? And I think that's sort of, it's helpful to go back and check because Brady's legacy has grown to, you know, from a nice hill to like a mountain range. And so it's hard to remember, I guess, that there was a time where he didn't come in and have to lead that organization or team. He just had to play really smart, efficient quarterback, modest output, not make mistakes, do the little things. And that was what things were then. It's not that now. I mean, this is one of the more prolific offenses in the game. And you go back and look, and I think if anything, I gained a greater appreciation for where our defense was back in those days.
Well, and to that degree, Matt Williamson, I know you have an article about the Patriots D has the pieces to slow down that Atlanta offense. To me, I think that's where the difference in this game lies, is how much can the one defense slow down the other's offense? Because both offenses are prolific, but I think the Patriots might have a little bit of an edge on the defensive side of the ball.
See, I think they have a massive edge, and I think this actually sets up pretty well for New England, and that's all due respect to the Falcons. I mean, to me, they're clearly the best offense in the league, and they can attack you so many ways, and they don't have a lot of holes. I mean, they don't have a lot of weaknesses. They really don't. But, you know, they're, as much as they throw, they're still a zone running based team that everything kind of stems off of that. And Julio. And I know they have a ton of weapons and they throw fullbacks and three tight ends at you. But really, to me, who are the really good players? Like, Sanu's been a nice pickup and Gabriel, but Jones stirs the drink and the running backs are very good and very versatile. But I think, and just especially watching how the Patriots have played lately, ideally, I think New England's base defense is big nickel with three safeties, two corners, and I think that they'll be able to play that against Atlanta's base offenses. And whenever Atlanta brings X receiver in, then they'll go dime and they'll bring Rowe in. And the reason I say that is I think the whole key to this game for New England is Brown and Branch just dominating the interior of Atlanta's offensive line. And I think they're well prepared to do that. I mean, those are movement-based players, good athletes. But Alex Mack, I mean, he's battling a bad ankle injury right now. I think Branch is going to get the better of him as he did in Pittsburgh against, I like this Atlanta line, but I like Pittsburgh's better. And Branch and Brown were dominant there. I think they do a really good job of shutting down the run. And therefore, we'll have guys like Chung on Freeman or Coleman in coverage, a lot of man coverage. I think you'll see Butler on Sanu. I think you see Ryan on Julio with a lot of help, and that doesn't sound so bad to me. But the one thing that the big asterisk there is, I don't know if they'll get any pressure on Ryan. Mm.
And Chatham, I do suspect that, you know, Pittsburgh was sort of a nice pre-game warm-up for the Patriots, if you will, in terms of facing this team, because I have a feeling the defensive game plan will be quite similar, and sort of where I look at where the Patriots failed against Pittsburgh, if you want to use fail in a game where they won, was Logan Ryan had trouble with covering that slot receiver.
He had two bad series, and he had a bunch of other great ones. I'll say that. I think one of the things that I look at, and I know the team does this a lot just from sitting through the meetings, and when games like this come up, they want to find comps. They want to find things that are similar, and not just by a player, but more sort of like team profile, right? So Pittsburgh is a pretty close one. I mean, the only difference here, the only major fundamental difference to me is the kind of number one. Obviously, Antonio Brown's a different player than Julio Jones, but from volume issues, from sort of dependency issues, I think it's somewhat similar. A strong running game, a couple good backs, complementary pieces that can hurt you, but it's not sort of the thrust of the offense. I also look to another team that sort of includes Sanu. Maybe that's why by default I go there, but it also has their sort of key piece that's comparable. So I think Bengals maybe circa 2014, for maybe only about a four or five game stretch where AJ Green is flying high, Sanu's playing at a high level, Marvin Jones is there. So they've got depth and good players at all three of the sort of wide receiver spots, two good backs in Geo and Hill. The tight end there would actually sort of be a plus, more so than Atlanta sort of has like a cycle of four guys, but similar profile. Matt Ryan obviously playing at a higher level now than Andy Dalton, but there was a time where if you're putting together sort of a game plan of things you have to take away, when you have to sort of defend the whole field, that's more of, I think, a comparable group. Now, I say that, and I'm actually working on a video right now, and it'll be up later this afternoon. We're taping this here on a Monday. That sort of goes into what I believe they'll be doing from game planning. And it's not a who covers who. It's not a particular cover choice. It's certainly not pressure, volume of how many times you do or don't get there. I really do think this is a unique week, and I think really sort of the evidence to what it is and what is required is more seen in what you can see doesn't work. And by going back to the two playoff games, go back to Seattle, go back to Packers game. I think I put together maybe a 15 play deck here in this maybe 4.5-5 minute video that I did. And I probably could have made 40 plays. And it was, I think, instructive. And I know this is the way that Coach Belichick often goes through them. He's done this to us a million times back in the day when it was Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and saying, hey, if you don't let them do this two-man game on you. If you don't block Zach on the second level, he'll make the tackle. He'll have 35 tackles in the game. If you don't chip Jason Taylor, he's gonna ruin the game for us, right? And there's a lot of that stuff in the Packers and Seahawks game where you can just go and say, hey, they're allowing Atlanta out of stacked receivers to free release off the ball and try to cover them from 8 and 10 yards off the ball with safeties or corners that are off in a real lag coverage. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. They're letting the tight ends, Hooper, any of these guys, free release off the edge, sending in extra pressure, which forces the ball, which is counterintuitive because you don't want it out quickly because they're trying to take them from depth. And they have these easy pitches and catches just over and over and over again. Pocket control, another huge issue. You can look at the Packers game and right up the field past the quarterback over and over and over again goes both the end and tackle. And Matt Ryan just steps up and walks for 10 yards. That big long touchdown in the first half that he wandered around for 18 yards. It wasn't Michael Vick, but it may as well have been as bad as the pocket control was. And some of those other ones, it just looks like the pike. It looks like Mass and Interstate 90 there, where just the opening spreads up the middle of the field. Matt Ryan steps up and dumps it off to Freeman. There's just so many instances of you cannot do that. You have to hit the backs. You have to have good pocket control. You cannot defend them from 8 and 10 and 12 yards deep and just try to spot drop and match them with athleticism. You can't do that. Any of these things can be done in a number of different coverages, a number of different fronts. Pressure hasn't really worked well because they pressured the crap out of them both, really did Green Bay especially, and getting out actually hurt them. So I think it's more about concepts, not calls, and that'll really be what they'll be preaching.
M-Dub, let's flip the script here and look at the Falcons defense against that Patriots offense. I have felt all season that the Falcons defense perhaps wasn't getting enough credit. But I mean, when you look at the team, that is sort of where their biggest weaknesses are.
Without question. And I see two weaknesses to these teams. I'm actually going to write an article for The Score about it today. I think that New England's pass rush worries me. And I am far from sold on Atlanta's ability to stop the run. They're an undersized, speed-based team, greatest show on turf type of defense. I know this isn't how they're structured, but in a way, they're almost set up like the Peyton Manning Colts, where we're going to invest in defensive linemen and speed, and we know we're going to put up a lot of points in our dome. But I think, and this goes back to the Patriots defense matching up well, in my opinion, to the Falcons offense, is that I think they're going to keep Ryan off the field a lot. I mean, with a lot of blunt in this game. And I'm not saying they're going to take the ball out of Brady's hands. By no means are they going to do that. But I think they'll be very physical and pound that lighter front over and over and with success, unless they get down 14-0 or something like that, which certainly could happen with Atlanta's offense. But in some ways, this Falcons defense reminds me a little of the Steelers in that they're very fast, they're very young, and on a big stage, I bet they crumble to Brady.
I love the point, and I think it's something that I know they want to do. I think they're far more built to do this, to sort of game control and keep Matt Ryan off the field. We mentioned this in the podcast a couple weeks ago, I think it was, but the Seattle's first couple of drives, just masterful. You know, really good against Atlanta, but not able to maintain it once the adjustments were made. I think you can look back to the Patriots a couple of years ago against the Seahawks, who, you know, that's obviously Dan Quinn's DNA. That's where he came from. He was a coordinator at that time. He's actually coached in now three of the last four Super Bowls. And that, if you go back and watch sort of the first quarter, even into sort of midway of the second quarter, that's what the Patriots wanted to do. And they got several really important conversions, but not a ton of points early. So they moved the ball, but it was sort of in a modest 3 to 3.5 per carry kind of thing. Yes, they converted with it a couple times. They kept it moving. It was important to establish it. But once the game broke, it went more to the spread stuff. They had sort of the crazy, you know, second half drives and all that stuff that sort of, you know, abandoned the run. I think this year, two things. A, the Patriots are better built to maintain that kind of running style, and the backs are better. Then it was Blunt and Shane Vereen. Now you have Deion Lewis and James White. So they're a little more diverse in that you've got sort of the Deion Lewis guy that can be the pass or run guy. Blunt's a little more definitive one or the other, and James White can come in and do a lot of things in the screen game and out of the backfield. And that said, I think obviously Atlanta's defense is at least one notch, maybe two notches down from what Dan was dealing with in Seattle. So I think what they intended to do, wanted to do that particular year, they'll be able to do much more successfully this time around.
You know, the other thing to keep the focus on Atlanta, but going back to their offense, Chatham, one of the things that the Patriots haven't faced, unfortunately, the way that the playoffs played out, was a guy like a Taylor Gabriel, or even having a second fiddle, so to speak, again, and a Mohamed Sanu, a guy that, you know, does have a little bit higher quality than perhaps some of the other teams that the Patriots have faced so far this season. How do you foresee those two players specifically, playing out in this game?
Well, I would say, again, I would be a lot less concerned with who they match him with and rather how they do. I mean, if you let Gabriel just run around through the secondary, there's a crazy clip in that Packers game where, and it's on my video deck there, where they go into sort of, it's a spread formation where they've got two receivers to both sides in stacks. So a set of stacks, one on each side, and then the back and gun next to him. And Gabriel races off the line from right next to Julio Jones. All five guys dispersed in the route. None of the five are touched by another human being, and I swear Matt Ryan could have underhand thrown the ball to any one of the four of the five. It was incredible, and you're watching this going, this is pretty awesome offense, but this is pretty putrid defense as well. So I guess for me, it's, you know, if you want to contain Gabriel, if you want to keep Sanu from going off, Gabriel is more, don't just let him build on you. In those moments where you have built in some help, and the Patriots use a lot of the two shell stuff against the Steelers, and I would foresee they use a lot of it again. But if you're going to have help, don't play off and catch him. Don't allow him to build on that safety. That makes life really difficult. Packers got killed on that a lot. If you're going to have help, be aggressive. Be physical. This is the old sort of Rams of 2001 thing and that old Super Bowl. It's, you've got, if you're going to be given help, oversell, beat him up, do the best you can to go ahead and use that 5-yard chuck zone. I think the other guy, when you talk about Sanu, there were a lot of examples where he's a really silky guy. He's smooth. He's got some craftiness to him. He is athletic out in space on the catch and run stuff. But the important thing with him is his shakes are good at the line. He does a great job of sort of figuring out where help is and playing away from the help. So there's again, a bunch of examples in that Packers game where Sanu just shakes a guy at the line and the guy oversteps to the side he had the help. So you're running an out route, with, you know, multiple defenders on the wrong side. So a lot of it is, regardless of who ends up on them, it's just smart use of your help with those fast guys, smart use of your help with those athletic dudes. It's a team game. If you're in a man, you're in a zone, it doesn't really matter. It's just understanding where your buddy is and using them. Teams have done a really poor job with that against the Falcons. You do great with it, or even just average with it, it's a lot more modest group.
You know, M-Dub, Chatham brought it up earlier about adjustments. There does seem to be this line out there that nobody makes adjustments better than Bill Belichick and company.
And I'm sure there's a lot of truth to that. And I know there's a lot of truth to that. But Atlanta's really good at it, too, especially when they have the ball. You know, that there's been games this year where they, you know, they're not dominant, or they can't find the answer, but they try something new and they come out and all of a sudden they're throwing the backs left and right against, you know, linebackers that can't cover them. And they discover things as they go. So I don't know that that edge favors New England by leaps and bounds, but I certainly think the edge of clock management, how to use my timeouts, how to manage the game, you know, if the game's on the line and there's, you know, should I kick the field goal here? All those type of things certainly favor the Patriots, as does the bend there, done it factor.
And speaking of the bend there, done it factor, you know, Chatham, this is what you lift all those weights for. This is the game of all games. I mean, is that something that we're looking at Matt Ryan and sort of the first time being there and all the pressure that he's faced through this playoffs as, hey, you got to get it done now, as opposed to getting it done during the regular season? I'm not suggesting that the pressure is going to be too much for him. I'm just thinking in terms of that been there, done it before factor, the Patriots are obviously well set up for this.
Well, I would say if you go back and watch the film, as I know the Patriots are, and you really sort of study missed opportunities the defenses have had, that's a big deal. Whether or not the pressure is going to get to someone, if Matt Ryan had thrown two picks in the first half, two times the ball were in the Packers defender's hands, one on a fumble with that sort of reverse that was mishandled that Ryan, the linebacker, wasn't able to get on. That was a missed turnover opportunity. And then that drive before the half, he throws the sort of quasi, you know, Hail Mary kind of thing that the safety drops right there in the middle of field. And then it extends the drive and he smokes him down the field, gets to the 10-yard line, throws a ball into the end zone, again, right in the defender's hands and dropped. Matt Ryan, there are opportunities. In my view, it's a lot like Joe Flacco. Obviously, Matt Ryan's playing at a level Joe Flacco never has, but I'm saying just in regards to opportunities for plays in the game. If you don't take advantage of them when Matt gets the ball back in his hands, that's when he's killed people. So I think it's really going to be one of those games where, you know, maybe it's experience and pressure and all that. I would highly doubt it. I think whoever has the ball near them needs to make the plays. And again, there's sort of a script for things that I think this, you know, I could easily see the Patriots losing this game if they play the way some of the teams that have come before them have played. If you understand what couldn't be done or can't be done as others have, they'll be fine. And I think they should be favored. But if you go out and watch that game and you watch and the backs aren't being hit by the defensive ends, if the pass rush is up the field past Matt Ryan, if the defense or the wide receivers are building in the secondary without being touched, yeah, Matt Ryan will tear them apart. I think they're a smart enough group to identify that. Matt Patricia will be hammering it all week, but the guy's got to go out and execute. So I think this makes it fun. I mean, I think either of these two teams could win this game. If the Patriots take a smart approach, which I expect they would, I do at least believe that they should be favored.
M-Dub, I'm not going to ask you who you think you got in this game, because I'm sure you're going to say on all your other podcasts. But do you think Lady Gaga's hair color will be blonde, yellow, or pink, or purple, or white? Because that's what the prop bets got right now.
Nice. I'm going to look into the props. I haven't looked at them at all, but I guess that's a good one. I mean, isn't there some inside scoop out there? So nobody knows the answer to that one.
Somebody's got to know exactly.
Somebody's got to know.
You know, Lady Gaga's first song at the halftime has also got to be something that somebody's got an idea about what she's going to open with. So I think some of these props need to be, you know, Anyway. All right. Now I will ask if you've got who you got.
Yeah, and I'm going to be saying it all over the air today anyways. I think New England wins big, to be honest with you. The more I look at it, the more I think things favor New England, the more I trust them. And I have great respect for the Falcons, but I think Brady's going to notch another one, and they're going to win handily.
Mm. Chatham, who you got?
I would say, if as a gambling person, I would say that that is absolutely the safest bet. For as much as anything, is sort of learning my lesson in times where the Patriots were really the other profile. The presumption that, hey, this offense is unstoppable, they'll play well, no one can check them, all that kind of things. And it just doesn't tend to go that way in Super Bowls recently. Occasionally, you know, there'll be the team that always scores over 30 will continue to score 30 in the Super Bowl. But I think if you have to gamble and you've got four units to pick from, not independent of special teams, that could be a big factor here as well. We didn't really touch that. But if you had to gamble, who's got the best defense? And is it a space between the defenses like there's a space between these offenses? I think it's far greater. And I think that's probably the most important factor. The Patriots have the best opportunity to slow that offense. And for me, that's sort of going to be the deciding factor. Make them a little more modest, and the Patriots will maybe outperform what they've done against some of these other defenses. So I think comfortable. I don't know if I'll go blowout, but I'll say comfortable. Double-digit win.
You know, we released a prop bets show yesterday here on the Next Fan Up podcast, and this is the first time I've really had a chance to really look at it. But number of times Gisele Bündchen is shown, I don't think she's ever been shown before during the course of any of the Super Bowl appearances. So
I'm hoping for the over.
You're hoping for the over. It's 1.5. The one that I'll give you, Chatham, because I know you'll love this one the most. Number of times Deflategate is said during the broadcast, over under 2.5.
Ooh, so it's Joe and Aikman, right?
Yep.
That's who has the game. Probably relatively low. What was the number again? 2.5?
2.5.
Oh, well, then I'll go over on that. I don't think they're going to make it a dominant part of the broadcast, but there will be that little moment where they both have to reference, and all it takes is one of the two of them to say it twice, and you got the over. So I think they'll stay away from trying to make it into a debate show for 4.5 hours, but it'll be sort of the thing in the room. After a score or two, some shots up to Mr. Kraft's box, and they'll find Mr. Goodell some, you know, Roger, Mr. Goodell, I'm not calling that Roger.
Because that's the story.
They find Roger on the camera, and you can't help but burp that word a few times.
Yeah, that's going to be the story. The story will be, if the Patriots end up winning this game, just how awkward that trophy presentation is going to be. And that's what I'm really looking forward to. And I know, unfortunately, how professional all of those men are, and that it's going to go rather smoothly, and there's not going to be any reference, and there's not going to be any jibs or jabs placed. But I really want to see it. I really want it. I really want it so bad. Guys, thank you so much for doing this all through the playoffs. And of course, we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, many other times down the road. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
Good stuff, Bob.
You know, I don't see any prop bets in here specifically about Roger Goodell and if anything will be mentioned about Deflategate specifically to Roger Goodell. Oh, but I so want to see that. I mean, oh, that... that would be so great to see. And by the way, I do feel a little comfortable, a little confident going into this game. The Patriots will come out winners, but you just never know. In a game like this where everything is on the line, that other team is going to be busting out whatever they can to win this game. And I know that the Falcons are going to be right there giving the Patriots everything they absolutely have. I don't necessarily feel that it's going to be a comfortable victory, but then again, everything I've seen and the way that the Patriots have played the season when they've been tasked with that challenge at hand, and I'm looking specifically just to 2 weeks ago against the Steelers, the Patriots have come through and they've ultimately ended winning very handily, even though it took a while before they got there. By the way, some other interesting prop bets. Will Lady Gaga have a wardrobe malfunction? Will James Harden appear in a commercial during the Super Bowl? How many Peyton Manning commercials will there be in Super Bowl 51? Some of these are we probably already know the answer. So yeah, go and listen to the Prop Bets podcast. I highly encourage it. And then get ready for Thursday when we have the most epic superfan battle between Patrick, our Patriot superfan, and Tim, our Falcon superfan, plus some thoughts from the superfans about some of the latest news. There's been some changes out in San Francisco. And I think our super fan for the San Francisco 49ers, Charlie, will have a few words to say about that, about what he's looking forward to in terms of the 49ers and next season. And that is exactly what we're doing as we finish up here with the Super Bowl. We're going to be making our transition into the off season, looking at free agency coming up. The combine is coming up. All of these things are going to be topics that we're going to concentrate on as super fans, because that's what we do. We love football, and we're going to continue to love football along here with you. Send us your emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, we do have our website at, what is it? Nextfanup.wordpress.com. Every now and then I need a reminder. So please do check out the website. We'll have lots of good stuff coming, including the Superfan Super Mock Draft, always a key to our off-season conversation. And we want to know what else you want to talk about, because there are so many topics. Last year, we talked about some of the Hall of Fame things going on. We talked about the greatest running back of all time. So we have many different things. This is the time of the year where we can expand our football conversations to include all of you out there, and also include anything that you want to talk about that has to do with the NFL. So please do reach out to us, nextfanup@gmail.com, at NFU Podcast on Twitter, and share the show with a friend after you subscribe on iTunes. You could leave us a review. That helps share our podcast with many people. As the more reviews come in, the more exposure the show will get. So please do share with a friend. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Aha Radio, TuneIn. You know Alexa loves TuneIn. So all you have to do is say, "Hey Alexa, play the Next Fan Up podcast." She'll go and get that podcast for you, and you'll be able to listen to it right there on your lovely Amazon Echo device. I will talk to you guys again on Thursday. For now, I leave you with Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.